He that is of the earth is earthly, speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh words, the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Father, we thank you tonight for your presence in this house. Thank you, Lord, for your people, for all that have gathered here to worship God. We pray that tonight, Lord, both saint and sinner will feel the presence of God and know that the Lord is among us of a surety. And I pray, Father, that you would deal with hearts through the word of God tonight. Your anointing would be upon me. Lord Jesus, I am dependent on you. I know that without you I can do nothing. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless this congregation. Don't let us waste this time together. Oh, God, focus our attention on the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, may we extol the name of Jesus tonight. And I pray, Father, that we all would see and understand the glory of the Son of God tonight. And I pray that souls would be drawn to Jesus. Oh, God, you'd make us more like the Son of God. And when this service is over with, may we know that we've been touched by him, blessed by the Lord, and may we feel satisfied in our heart that we have given you glory and honor. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to call your attention in particular to verse 36 tonight. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And I want to preach tonight very simply on everlasting life. Everlasting life. You know, contemporary man is very concerned about what we call quality of life. We hear that term a lot. People talking about quality of life. And we define quality of life in various ways. Different people have different ideas about what quality of life concerns. Most of the time, when we're talking about quality of life, we're talking about in terms of physical and mental health. We feel like that in order for people to have quality of life, they have to have a certain level of physical health and mental health. And when they don't have that, then we say they don't have a good quality of life. It's on the basis of that that we kill babies in the womb. It's on the basis of that that we euthanize old people because we say they don't have a good quality of life. And so we play God with them. And we decide when that life has enough quality to warrant living, and when it don't. And that's what we gauge it on. Sometimes we gauge quality of life in social advantages. You know, access to health care makes for quality of life. The maximizing of leisure time and pleasure. People define that as quality of life. Access to education and knowledge. Internet and computers and schools and degrees and so forth, we put that in the equation of quality of life. Sometimes it's defined in terms of human comfort. when people have adequate protection against the elements. They have nice homes to live in. They have nice beds to sleep in. They have air conditioning in the summer. They have heat in the wintertime. They have windows. They have doors. They have means of transportation. They have personal security. They have police to protect us. We don't have to be afraid all the time of the police. And we have jails to put prisoners in that misbehave. And so this security, this personal security, plays into this quality of life. And, you know, that's one reason that we feel an obligation to the world. We think we have, as Americans, we have what it takes to have quality life. And we are interested in everybody else seeing things like we see them and possessing our quality of life. I read something interesting the other day that this man said that was acquainted with different cultures. He said the amazing thing is no matter how poor they are, how ignorant, how uneducated, or how much they lack, most people feel like that everybody else is in need of what they've got. And so the quality of life means different things to different people. But my text gives us a divine prescription for maximizing quality of life for time and eternity. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That is not a life that is to come. He has, right now, present tense, he has everlasting life. This quality of life that the Lord offers to us is called everlasting life. Life without an end. That is everlasting life. And the implication of my text is that we do not naturally possess everlasting life. There are conditions attached to this everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son hath not or shall not see life. So it is obvious from my text tonight that this life is more than just conscious existence. You understand that the everlasting life we're talking about is not just being conscious. This is something beyond just conscious existence. And the scriptures unmistakably teach us that once a man is living, that he will never pass out of existence. He's going to live on somewhere in all eternity. He's going to live everlastingly in heaven, or he is going to live forever in hell. One or the other. We never pass out of existence. Once we come into existence, we never pass out of existence. So when the Lord talks about everlasting life, he's not talking about just existing. But God wants you to have a certain quality of life that he defines as everlasting life. Now this quality of life is impossible without the favor of God. He says in my text concerning unbelievers, he said the wrath of God abideth on him. That is not that he's going to experience the wrath of God, but the wrath of God is abiding on him, present tense, if he does not believe on the Son of God and trust him. The wrath of God abides upon him right now. So this quality of life, if this everlasting life, involves the favor of God upon our life. On earth, that person who does not believe on the Son of God, he shall not see life, but the wrath of God is abiding on him. So every day that he lives on the face of the earth, he faces the imminent threat of hell hanging over him every moment of every day. He's under condemnation because he has not believed on the name of the Son of God. and the threat of eternal judgment hovers over him every moment of every day that he lives. The reason he don't get right with God is because he's blind to the horrors of his future punishment, and he is blind to the poverty of his existence right now. He don't realize the poverty of the kind of life he's living. And he does not realize the horrors that are waiting on him when he leaves this world. He's blind. The Bible says that the devil has blinded men to their condition. You know, if you lived in a hut and you didn't have running water and you didn't have any, no inside toilets and no inside kitchens, and all you knew was that kind of lifestyle, you'd never be dissatisfied with it. If that's all you knew, if you never knew anything else, you'd never be dissatisfied with it. And that's the way it is with people in sin. When they live in this miserable existence, they don't know that there's anything better. The devil has blinded them to it. They don't realize there's a higher life. They don't understand that there's a better quality of life available to them. That Jesus Christ has come into this world to give us everlasting life. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's come to give us a new quality of life. And so this man in sin, this man who does not believe in Jesus, he fancies that life is all it is meant to be, even without the favor of God. But I want to tell you, brother, there is a life you can live with the favor of God upon you. It is everlasting life. You can be delivered from the wrath to come. You don't have to have that threat of judgment hanging over your head. You can be free from condemnation. Praise God. That is quality of life. There are people who are very satisfied with their lives. You know, we live among people all around us like that, who are without Christ, but are very satisfied with their lives. They define quality of life in terms of money. So as long as they've got plenty of money, they're satisfied with their life. Some people are satisfied as long as they are socially accepted and as long as they can receive the applause of the world. They feel like that everything is all right. Family is together. Children, they got harmony in their home. They're having a good time with family and friends, and they're having fun and games, and so they don't feel any urgency to make any changes in their life. They think this is quality of life, and they're satisfied with that life without the favor of God. But I want to tell you, brother, that kind of life is going to run out. If you don't have everlasting life, I'm telling you, it's going to run out somewhere. And there's no stock markets in hell. And there's no desirable real estate in hell. I don't know of anybody that's trying to buy real estate in hell. And there are no upwardly mobile people in hell. And everybody there has suffered the loss of everything that defined their happiness in life. When you check out of here, listen to me. When you check out of here, you're going to leave behind everything that you ever accumulated in life. Everything that defines your happiness, you're going to walk away from it. You're going to check out of here with nothing in your hands. And if your happiness was in the material world, get me now, if your happiness was in the material world, you just lost the reason for your happiness for all eternity. I said you just lost the reason for your happiness for all eternity. But the Bible tells us that it depends on how many friends you've got. It does not depend on how acceptable you are to society. But I'm telling you that this quality of life that the Lord offers to you, it's dependent upon your response to Jesus Christ. He said in my text, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. And so your quality of life, you hear me? I want everybody to hear me tonight. Your quality of life is dependent on your response to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You either believe on Him or you don't. There are only two kind of people in all the world. You hear me? There's just two classes of people. You either believe on Him or you don't believe on Him. You're either going to heaven because you believe on Him, or you're going to hell because you don't. Only two classes of people in the world. You're not in between. There's no neutral ground. You're either for Him or against Him. You either believe on Him or you don't believe on Him. Just two classes of people in the world. And our religious people, you know, who really do not believe on Jesus in the sense of a saving sense and do not know this quality of life that Jesus Christ came to bring us. Hallelujah. Boy, I wish I could get you young folks to hear me, you teenagers to hear me, and to understand tonight that if you want to have a good life, if you want to have a quality life, then believe on Jesus Christ. Amen. Commit your heart and life to Jesus Christ. That'll be where you'll find everlasting life, quality life, life without end, life that satisfies, life that fulfills. It's only in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. John the Baptist is teaching us about Him in this text. He tells us that Jesus is from heaven. The only person who ever came to us whose address was heaven. He is from heaven, He said. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, speaketh of the earth, but he that cometh from heaven is above all. Amen. I'm telling you that Bethlehem was not the beginning of Jesus. Jesus came to us from heaven. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. His address was heaven before it was Bethlehem. He came from heaven. John the Baptist tells us that Jesus spoke to us the words of God. Verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. I'm telling you, when Jesus spoke, it was God speaking to us. If you want to know what God's will is for your life, if you want to know the way of salvation, then you've got to pay attention to what Jesus said. You might tell me, preacher, I want to go to heaven. But if you're not interested in what Jesus said, and you're not interested in who He is, you're not interested in going to heaven until you get interested in Jesus Christ and what Jesus had to say and what the Bible has to say about Him. He is the subject of the Bible from beginning to the end. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, and for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of Me, Jesus said. So you search the Scriptures to know who Jesus is. You search the Scriptures to hear what Jesus says. And because when Jesus speaks, God is speaking to us through Jesus. He spoke the words of God. He tells us, John the Baptist went on to tell us, that Jesus has been given universal authority and supremacy. He said in verse 35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. Now I want you to understand that when you believe on Jesus Christ, this is not just a mental activity. This is a heart activity. It's a surrender to the sovereignty of Jesus. It's a surrender to the authority of Jesus Christ. Believing on Him means surrendering to Him. Everybody that believes on Jesus, hear me. Everybody that believes on Jesus believes what Jesus believes. Oh, yeah. I said everybody that believes on Jesus Christ, they believe what Jesus believes. These people that say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't believe the Word of God, I'm telling you, they don't believe on Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ believed the book. He believed the Bible was the Word of God. He said that not one jot or one tittle would pass away, hallelujah, until all be fulfilled. He said that the testimony of the Lord would not be broken. Jesus Christ believed in the absolute infallibility and authority of the Word of God. And so when you believe on Jesus, you believe what Jesus believed. But not only do you believe what Jesus believed, but you begin to walk like Jesus walked. Because the Bible says that when we he that believeth on Him ought himself so to walk, even as Jesus walks. So when you believe on Jesus, it transforms your life. Oh, hallelujah. I said it transforms your life. And you begin to walk like Jesus walked. I don't want nobody around here, you know, just prompting and pumping somebody to say, I believe on Jesus. And then they walk out of here just like they came. That's not believing on Jesus. When you believe on Jesus Christ, there is a life-transforming power in the faith that you have in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He gives to you everlasting life, a new quality of life, a new joy in life, a new zest in life. He gives us righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There's a life-transforming power that comes into your life when you believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, you're going to try to find quality of life somehow. All of you are. You're going to try to find quality of life some way. You're going to seek for it. You're going to search for it. You're going to dig for it. You're going to put some effort into trying to find quality of life in some direction. And I'm trying to tell you tonight that there's only one way that you can have true quality of life, and that is in a positive response to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. 10 years ago, the most famous woman in all of the world died in a car accident in a tunnel in Paris, France. She was a Princess of Wales. Diana, Princess of Wales. Most famous woman in all of the world. Everybody knew who Diana was. She was real famous because she had what much of the world prized. She had beauty. She had wealth. She was associated with royalty. She was the Princess of Wales. She had married the prince in England. And people felt sorry for her because of the tragedies that had befallen her. Her husband loved another woman and gave his attentions to another woman. Her marriage failed. She had emotional problems. And she was, what do you call this, throwing up, you know, anorexia. She had that kind of stuff. And she was a tragic figure to the people in the world. And life evolved until she broke loose from the royal family. And she began to make her own life. And she began to do good deeds for other people. She adopted good causes in the world. She adopted the cause of AIDS victims. She adopted the cause of poor people, maybe in Africa and different places. That she promoted these charitable causes in the world. She did a lot of good. But she is a miserable person. And she kept seeking for happiness in life. One day, sitting in a hospital room, she met a doctor, a Muslim doctor, that she fell in love with. And she began to have an affair with this Muslim doctor. She wanted to marry him. He wouldn't marry her because his family would not approve of it. And so finally, he broke off the relationship. But she was an immoral woman. And then, after that, she found her another Muslim boyfriend. Fayed, was that his name? And it was this man that she was in the car with when they went into the tunnel, and she was ushered into eternity in a moment of time.
She had beauty. She had wealth. She had name recognition. She was famous. She was the most famous woman in the world. But she did not have quality of life. I'm telling you, she lacked everlasting life. Because it ain't found in palaces. And it's not found in fashionable clothes. And it's not found in mixing with the rich and famous. And it's not found, my brother, in the material things of this world. But real, real joy and everlasting life and quality of life is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I said it's found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And outside of that, there is no true happiness. And outside of that, there is no everlasting joy, but only in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Did you know that just about the same time that this most famous of women died, that another woman, about as famous as she did, as she was, died? She is an older lady. Her name was Mother Teresa. They died just about the same time. And Mother Teresa's death was overshadowed by the death of Diana. But Mother Teresa was known around the world for her charitable work. A woman who had given herself to self-denial. A woman who had given herself to serve the poor of this world. A woman who built a legion of nuns whose lives were devoted to serving lepers and poor people and sick people all around the world. She was a woman that was devoted to her church, the Roman Catholic Church. She was devoted to the cause of the poor. She was known around the world. She spoke to presidents. She spoke to royalty. She was well known in the world. She died too. And this woman, so devoted to her church and devoted to charitable causes, they were reading some of her writings, letters addressed to God, found out that this woman was an agnostic. She did not even know whether or not there was a God. She would say, God, if you exist, if you are there, if there is such a thing as a God, and she would go on and write her letters, if there is a God. I thought, oh God, living a life devoted to her church, and the Roman Catholic Church teaches their people that salvation is in the church. It's in the Roman Catholic Church. And this woman who devoted her life to that church and devoted her life to the poor and never had an assurance that there was even a God in the heavens. You know what I thought about? I thought about Sister Lenora sitting here that was raised in a Buddhist family. Her mother was a Buddhist and she was raised to know Buddhism. Didn't know anything about Jesus. But in her misery, she cried out to God, and Sister Norman can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe her testimony was that she said, if there is a God, I want you to hear me and take away this misery from my life. And she said, God did it. Just in a moment of time, God took away that misery out of her heart and life. And gave her the assurance that He was there. He was hearing her prayer. He was listening to her. I'm telling you, brother, oh glory to God, you don't have to spend your life wondering about God. God will reveal Himself to you. God will come to you. God will make Himself known to you. You can have everlasting life in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, religion won't do it. You can see religion won't do it. Being a church member won't do it. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. It don't matter how many good things you do. It don't matter how many churches you belong to. If you do not believe the Son of God, you shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. So whatever direction you go, I'm telling you, you're going to be disappointed until you turn to Jesus and you surrender your heart and your life to the Son of God, and Jesus will give you everlasting life. Praise God. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano tonight. I know there are souls in this place tonight that you don't know this quality of life. You think you're doing all right, but you don't realize there's a higher life. There's a better way to live. Praise God. And Sister Judy, I want to sing a song. Oh, I love God's way of living best of all. And you need to know God's way of living tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ, Jesus has come into this world to make himself known to you. He sent his Spirit into the world to convince men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And understand this. He said he came to convince men of sin because they believe not on Jesus Christ. This is the root of all sin. It's when we do not believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, you may smoke cigarettes. You may commit fornication. You may drink beer and booze. You may take drugs. But I'm telling you, that's not the real reason you're going to hell. The real reason you're going to hell is because you've left Jesus Christ out of your life. And this, my brothers, the root of all sin, is when we leave Jesus Christ out of our life. When Jesus comes in, sin has to go out. But I'm telling you, that men and women, boys and girls, you can quit your cigarette smoking, you can lay down your booze, you can get off the needle, you can start going to church and go to hell off of church pews if you don't know Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You can belong to the church, you can have your name on the register, you can be baptized in the pool, you can shake all the preacher's hands, you can know all the right people, you can be approved by all the church people and go to hell if you don't know Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, brother, this is everlasting life, that you know Jesus. Praise God. This is the only way to have real quality of life, is to know Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus says, you come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I'll save your soul. I'll give you quality of life. I'll give you a life worth living. You'd be surprised how many people over here in the funeral homes are there because they took their own life. You'd be shocked to know that. How many people all around us take their own life? No hope. They lived for something that couldn't satisfy. I'm telling you. They lived for something that couldn't satisfy. Oh, it satisfied them for a while. Running from man to man, from woman to woman, popping pills and shooting up with needles. And for a while, it satisfied. But after a while, they found out that wasn't really living. That was just existing. But Jesus Christ said, I'm come so you can live. The devil comes not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm going to stop with this illustration right here. I want you young folks to hear me now. I sat in the room with a man 39 years old dying because he started young like you are with drugs. By the time he's 39 years old, his body doesn't give out. His liver's diseased. He's a dying man. His sister wants me to go talk to him about his soul. And so I go and sit in his living room. And I start trying to get that man ready to die. Talking to him about his soul. Talking to him about Jesus. While I'm talking to him, trying to get this man ready to die, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. He said to me, Jesus Christ did not come into this world so much to get men ready to die as He came to get men ready to live. That's what He told me. Brother, I changed my testimony to that man. I said, Jesus Christ didn't come into this world so much to get you ready to die as to get you ready to live. The Bible says that the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Brother, that man didn't get saved right then, but in a few days he gave his heart to Jesus and got right with God. I'd go to the hospital. He's still sick. I'd go to the hospital, see him in the hospital. Brother, he is so glad to see me. He'd go from room to room, testifying to people about what Jesus had done for him, praying for the sick people in the hospital. I'm talking about a boy, I don't reckon he'd ever been to church hardly, but when he got saved, praise God, God gave him abundant life. He started sharing that abundant life with everybody else. When I preached his funeral, I said to those people, I said, listen, this man that you come to his funeral today died a few months ago. This is not the same man you knew. He died a few months ago when he came to Jesus. And this is a new man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ gave him abundant life. And I'm telling you, that's the kind of life Jesus wants you to have. I'm come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. There's no need for us going through this world miserable in our sins when Jesus has come to give us abundant life, everlasting life, hallelujah, a quality of life. I want us to stand together tonight.